I confess, I was a rather strong baby. Back in the days when men did not go into the delivery room with their wives as they were giving birth, there were three men out in the waiting room. And they were waiting for that joyous news. So a nurse comes in the room and looks at the one gentleman and says, "Congratulations, sir, your wife just gave birth to twins." The man said, "That's rather ironic. I pitch for the Minnesota Twins." A few moments later, news came to the second gentleman that his wife had triplets. And the coincidence with that situation was that he worked for 3M. Now, the third guy at this point is bolting for the door. And somebody said, "Well, why are you leaving?" He goes, "I work for 7-Eleven, and I'm getting out of here." Like this hospital, the Corinthian church had a lot of babies. Would you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? And as you are turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you are under God's microscope today because there's an evaluation that is going to take place. And let me ask you three questions and to see which category you fit in. Number one, are you spiritually dead? That means you are not born again. You do not have the Spirit of God and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's our first category that people can be in. The second category would be, are you spiritually immature? Are you a big baby still carrying a lot of baby fat? And then the third category is that of being spiritual. Are you spiritually mature? Are you a lean and mean spiritual machine? That's our third category. Let me go ahead and read to you our text for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I trust your minds are working and you're already doing an evaluation of such. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" Let's ask the Lord to bless our study this morning. Father, thank you. Your word discerns, judges our hearts. And I thank you for this. So, Father, today I would pray that each one here would have an openness and that they would be breathing that silent prayer, "Lord, evaluate me and show me what you want me to do." May the Spirit of God just guide us in our study. For your great name's sake, we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul begins his assessment in verse 1 by calling these Corinthians brethren. It is actually now the fifth time in just three chapters that he uses that term of affection. So he wants them to understand that although they are about to be evaluated by the Word of God, he does this because he loves them, their family. Their family. Important. Now, let me do an informal Burge poll. Everybody ready? You have got a poll? This is an informal Burge poll. How many here have been saved within the last 2 years? It has been within the last 2 years that you came to understand that Jesus Christ died for your sin, was raised from the dead, and you put your faith in him. How many of you would fit in that category, 0 to 2 years that you've been born again? Okay. Thank you for your support. Second question then, how many fit in the category you've been saved between 3 to 4 years? It's been within about a 3 to 4 year period of time that you came to faith in Jesus Christ. Show of hands that would fit that category. Very good, thank you. And now the last category for those that are still with us, 5 years or more, how many of you have been saved for 5 years or longer? Can I get a show of hands there? The vast majority of the people, and may I say to you, congratulations, because you qualify to be in a special camp. The special camp is that of being spiritually mature. Why do I say this? Okay, I'll tell you why. Paul went to this church, Corinth, right? Founded a church, actually, in AD 51. He is now writing to them 5 years later, and it is AD 56. Approximately 5 years have transpired, and there is one thing that is very clear. He expects the Corinthians all to be spiritually mature. In other words, those who've raised your hands saying, I have been saved for 5 years or longer, God would expect you to be spiritually mature at this point. So the question is, are you spiritually mature? That is our question for today. Now let's start with the three categories. Got to go back for just a moment to chapter 2 and verse 14. And this is the natural man. The natural man. Who is the natural man? Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. It says, but the natural man, the Greek word there is psychikos, the soulish man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man is the individual that is not born again. In other words, he has not put his faith in the finished work of Christ. He has not trusted that Jesus Christ had died for his sins personally and was raised from the dead. This same word natural is used in Jude 19. They're speaking of apostates, those who have walked away from the faith. And speaking of mockers, it says this. These are sensual persons. That's our word, sensual. Who cause divisions, listen carefully, not having the Spirit. The one thing that makes the natural man who he is or who she is that they do not possess the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not within them, so therefore they are unsaved. A certain pastor is walking down a hallway. He was there by the nursery program classrooms. And there was a little girl standing outside of the classroom, just had finished Sunday school, and she had a little Bible in her hand, or a little Bible storybook, and it was entitled Jonah and the Whale. The pastor was feeling kind of mischievous on that day, so he came up to the little girl and said, what is that you have in your hands? And she said, this is my Bible storybook about Jonah and the Whale. And the pastor said, do you believe the story about Jonah and the Whale? And the little girl says, yes, we studied it today in Sunday school, and I do believe the story. The pastor goes, you mean to tell me that you believe that a man could be in the belly of a big fish for multiple days and then come out of that alive? The little girl said, that's what my Sunday school teacher told me, and I believe that to be true. The pastor, pressing on, said, young lady, can you prove that this is true? She stopped, she looked at him, and she said, you know, when I get to heaven, I will ask Jonah if this is true. The pastor looked with one follow-up question and said, well, what if Jonah is not in heaven? She put her hand on her hip, and she said, well, then, pastor, you can ask him. That pastor would fit into the category of the natural man or unsaved. Okay, you got the idea there? The second category we want to look at today is that of being spiritual. That of being spiritual. And that is the verse you were to memorize from last week. And it says, just look at this with me, please. He who is spiritual judges. The idea is you thoroughly examine all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. If you will, the spiritual person uses the Word of God to evaluate everything in life to know what and what not to do. You got it? That's the idea of the spiritual person. The spiritual person uses the Bible to help him or her understand what is my good use of time, what is a wise use of time. See, when you read the Bible, the days are evil, are they not? We're called now in the last days. Paul says in Ephesians 5:16 that we need to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, you might have a pair of shoes that somebody else wants, and they're willing to shoot you for your shoes. That's evil days. You're not guaranteed a tomorrow. So you need to make the most of the time that you have today. How do we know to do that? The Bible says it. I use my time wisely based upon what the Scripture teaches. How about a use of your minds? How do you think? Depends what you read. Depends what you focus on. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What does that mean, poor in spirit? It means somebody that understands their abject poverty before God. In other words, I deserve nothing, and I come to God and I say, you have everything. Give me who you are, right? Blessed is that kind of individual with that kind of thinking. Blessed are the individuals who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Why? They're going to inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. You get the point of what we're doing here? You are an individual who takes the word of God, puts it in your mind to help govern your thinking. Important. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we are to bring every thought, think about that, every thought to the captivity of Christ. Ooh. Got to use your minds wisely. How about your money? Choices. Do I really believe that God has given me a stewardship and everything I have comes from Him? Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 says that if you believe that, then you store up treasures in heaven. As God gives you increase, it's an exciting opportunity to give and do more. Why? Because it all comes from God. What do you have that you did not receive? It all comes from God. How about your choice of music? Psalm 40, verse 3, David says he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. My neighbor yelled out to me the other day coming home. She says, you really like your music, don't you? And I thought, I do. Why? Because whenever I'm in my vehicle, I love to sing to my God. You know, people probably think I'm a little bit on the extroverted side because I don't know about you, but my Christian music moves me. It challenges me. It speaks to me. It reminds me who my God is. And you know what? I remember what it was like when I was unsaved. I remember going to the concerts. I can still remember, you know, the marijuana just, you know, rifting upward. Whether you brought marijuana to the concert or not, everybody got high because the place was packed with marijuana. Remember some of those days? You know, Christ took me out of that foolishness. I used to sing the songs of Satan with such gusto. The songs of God are so much better. They really are. Those people that are discerning understand what God has done for them, and they love to sing to Him 24/7. How do we do these things? We evaluate all things by the Word of God. And ladies, are you professing to be godly? Are you professing to be virtuous? Are you telling people that you are someone that is a godly person? And there's Scripture for you. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, it says, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Choices. You all have to make choices. I have to make choices every day. How do you make those choices? The spiritual individual is the one who takes all things by the word of God and judges to see if that is appropriate or not. Can I tell you something, all due respect? I really couldn't give a rip about your opinion. I really couldn't give a rip about what everybody thinks here or there. I want to know. What does the Bible say about that? What does it tell me I should be doing? Once I know that, I don't move. Because that is what is eternal. That is what gives me direction. And when you follow the Word of God, people aren't going to understand you if you're spiritual. And I really mean this. They're going to look at you like Joshua, who marched around Jericho 13 times. And I'm sure even some of his own commanders said, I'm wondering if Joshua has just had a little too many military drills. You know what I'm saying? When you do things biblically, not everybody's going to understand. It doesn't matter. You get on point and you stay on point. The natural man, the spiritual man, and now we have the carnal man. Paul says, and this is so sad, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. What does carnal mean? Fleshly. It implies weakness, frailty, worldliness. Can I be real honest? We've all struggled with this. You can walk through that door today, spiritual, and in 2 minutes later, have a flashback of the flesh and go right back. Yeah, that's right. Think about it. Here's Peter, Matthew chapter 16. Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Peter says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Great. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven. Moments later, Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die. Peter goes over to Jesus, puts his arm around him more or less, and says, you're not going to the cross. Just moments ago, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Jesus looks him in the eye and says, get behind the Satan. Satan had influenced that thought. Peter knows the reason Jesus came because Jesus had instructed him was to die. Peter should have submitted to that. One moment, spiritual. One moment, carnal. How about even Paul? He calls himself carnal, sold under sin in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. Verse 15, he says, there are things I want to do. I don't do them. And then there are things I know I shouldn't do. Those I do. Been there, done that? Come on. Been there, done that? It's not until chapter 8 when Paul started to understand, if you will, and through his writings, that it was the Spirit of God that enabled him to have this great victory. 19 times in chapter 8 he refers to the Spirit of God. He says, Corinthians, you're carnal as to babes in Christ. Literally, the word for babe means a non-speaking person. A non-speaking person. The Corinthians here are excuseless. Can I tell you why they're excuseless? They should have been mature. God had given gifted men to the church in order that the church might become mature. Ephesians chapter 4 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints. To equip means if you come to church with a hole in your net. You come to church with something that is lacking and you get instructed correctly from the Word of God. You mend your net, you patch your hole, and you're made right again in order to go out and catch fish, catch men. See, I'm here. Kenny is here to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. The Corinthians had spiritual teachers. Paul came. Apollos came. Apparently Peter must have come at one time. They had at least 5 years of good training. And you know something? They lacked no spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 1:7 says that they did not come behind in any spiritual gift. They had all the giftedness and yet they're babes, yet they're carnal. Spiritual gifts don't mean you're necessarily mature, but as you sit under the hearing of the Word of God and do what you should do, that produces maturity. Because listen to Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. That we should no longer be non-speaking ones tossed to and fro. Are you tossed to and fro? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're not going to the cross, Lord. Right? Are you Paul, formerly? I don't want to do that. I did it. I know I shouldn't do that. You get the idea. We are excuseless as well. See, these believers had a problem. They did not progress in their desire for beef. Beef is what's for dinner. They didn't get this. Notice he says in verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. Now, milk is good for babies. And if a baby doesn't want its milk, then that baby is sick. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, that means badness, all guile, that's deception, hypocrisy, being one thing here at church on Sunday and another thing over the weekend, that's hypocrisy, being two separate people, envy, and all evil speaking as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. See, their spiritual diet had not progressed. They lacked what Martin Luther knew about the Word. He writes, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. But what's the assessment? Paul says, sadly, but until now you are still not able to receive the meat because you are carnal. What's going on with them? What are their issues? They had three. They had envy, they had strife, and they had divisions. And by the way, all three are mentioned in Galatians 5 as a work of the flesh. Something that the old nature produces and not the Spirit of God. Envy. Let's be transparent. So easy to be envious of the world, right? Matthew chapter 4, there is Jesus, fasted 40 days, 40 nights. And who slithers up but the tempter? And the tempter, after knowing Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, said, go ahead, turn the stones into bread. Don't depend on your heavenly Father anymore to provide for you. You take the bull by the horns. Don't be dependent upon God. Be independent. And what about with your money? What about for your provision? Where does it really come from? Do you truly trust that God is the one who provides all things for you? It's so easy to be tempted to be independent. See, because we look out in the world and we see a lot of rich people who don't give a rip about God. We look out into the unsaved world and we see a lot of people with what? A lot of bread. And we're struggling to get by and we're taking our offerings and we're honoring God. And we can look out and go, man, they look like they've got it so good. And you get envious. You see the people on the catwalk. And all eyes are upon them. You look at Hollywood, and you got the red carpet, and everybody looks so pretty. All those plastic surgeries might do that for you. And they all, you know, are so appealing. We deal with it all the time. The guys, you're driving over to church today, maybe you went by a gym, and these days all the windows are open, and they're all the babes. Why is it always the tight clothing and the shorty shorts, right? And you have a choice that you need to make at that moment. Am I going to look? Or am I going to turn my eyes away? Can I tell you something, my friends? You're free. You might choose to look. You might choose to lust. You might choose to envy. But if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. When you understand that our position is so much greater than our pull, the old nature is tugging on you. It is the tug of war. It says, give in, relent. But I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. I don't have to look. Can't get an amen on that one. I don't know if you guys are even alive out there. Because Christ has set me free. Freedom is a good day. Freedom is a good thing. Don't envy them. Where does your protection come from? The unsaved world all times out there, and they just like they don't need to be protected at all. Satan takes Jesus up into the southeastern corner on the temple wall. It's actually the place of the little wing, which is kind of interesting. It'll play on words from Psalm 91 because we're supposed to be under Jesus' wing or God's wing for protection. And Satan says, this is what I want you to do, Jesus. Just jump and let your angels make a miraculous save. And then you can tell everybody, I'm independent. I don't need my God to protect me. A macho man. The temptation for independence. And then how about all the kingdoms of the world? Beyonce, Rihanna, all the ones who have made it, Madonna, Britney Spears, pick your person, Miley Cyrus, right? Come on. All the envy. I want to be that person. Satan takes Jesus, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan had it to offer. He's the prince of this world. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, 1 John chapter 5. And he says to Jesus, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. It's a real world. It's enticing out there. There are a lot of things that you and I deal with on a daily basis that seem so overwhelming, and everybody's going with the flow, and you can't find the salmon that's going upstream anymore. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Christian community, if I have to assess it, and may I talk to my minister friends as well, we're carnal. We bought into the ways of the world. Whatever everybody else is watching, we're watching. What everybody else is listening to, we're listening. And we're just going with the flow, and nobody's going upstream against the fish. And that's why our country is where it is. You would ask me, Pastor, who do you blame? Number one, I blame the ministers because we have compromised. Many have not made Jesus Christ a priority. Many have now identified with the world instead of being separated from the world. So I blame the ministers, number one. Number two, then I blame the parishioners. Because there was a day, there was a time that we had discretion. There was a day, there was a time that when someone used the Lord's name in vain, off went that show. But no, we flocked to the movies. And we watched junk. And we fill our minds with garbage. And we wonder why we envy the world, because there's not that much of a difference anymore. And I talk to people and I say, tell me how God is leading you. Tell me about direction in your life. And people look at me clueless. You know why? Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. The ones who go, not in my home, not in my mind. I'm staying away from that. And if everybody looks at me and thinks I'm strange because I am separate, that's all right. Just give me God. Give me Jesus. Give me my relationship with my God. And you know what? They can keep the whole world. Don't envy. James chapter 3, would you turn here with me, please, talks about your choice of wisdom. You've got to pick whether you're going to go with the flow and the wisdom of this age, or you're going to choose to follow the wisdom of God. James chapter 3. I always like James. I think he'd be a great counselor. No 30-minute appointments. You're double-minded. You're unstable in all your ways. Get it right. James would just square you away in about 2 minutes and send you packing. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? And I love these next words. It's a command, by the way, let them show. Let them show. Come on, what are you showing everybody? What is everyone seeing from your life? What will everybody see in your life today when you leave this place? What will they see in you at the restaurants? What will they see in the workplace tomorrow? What will they see when you're out and about with your friends? What do they see? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Works. A life consumed with serving God because you're full of wisdom. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envy, there's our word envy again, and self-seeking, it's about me. Let me say this once again. If it's about you, you lose. If it's about you, you're miserable. Jesus says you will find your life when you lose it. Jesus says that the way to understand your purpose is by imitating him, who made himself the slave, not just the servant, he made himself the slave of all. You want greatness? Make yourself last. You want to be first? Then you become the servant of all. Very simple. See, but if you have envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but notice the next few words, but is earthly, sensual, catch this last word, everybody, demonic, from the pits of hell. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and notice these next words, only used once in the New Testament, willing to yield. Can I ask you a question today? Are you willing to yield? Some of you have your deflector shields up. You're going, you know what? Doesn't matter what the Bible says. No matter what the pastor says today, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do it my way. You're not willing to yield. But this word has the idea that you're easily persuaded. Someone has instructed me about what is right, and you know what? If that's what the Bible says, I'm doing it. I'm easily persuaded. I pray for a congregation of easily persuaded people, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who do what? They make peace. Whose voice are you following today? Used to love our German Shepherd. I could call our German Shepherd. He came running. Who else would wag their tail for me, right? I could say, sit, Chief. Chief would sit. I'd say, Chief, give me your paw. He'd give me his paw. Chief was brilliant. Chief was brilliant. He was one of my best friends growing up. But he learned verbal commands. Read the story about Charlie Frank, who had trained an elephant by the name of Nita. Actually was a circus performer in a particular outfit. But when this man retired, he sent the elephant to the San Diego Zoo. He came back for a visit 15 years later. Cameras rolling. 100 yards away from the elephant, he called to the elephant, and the elephant came running. The elephant also performed tricks that he hadn't been taught to do for 15 years. Animals learn to recognize the voice of the master. People can learn to hear God's voice. Question, how do you learn to hear God's voice? Main point, this is it. You want to mark this one down. Eat well to live well bodily. Eat well to live well bodily. I had bigger biceps than that when I was coming along at that age, but that's another story, okay? What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. Give you the physical analogy. You got to eat breakfast. Why do you got to eat breakfast? Because nutritionists say it regulates your metabolism, it gets you started during out the day, and you've got to take good care of yourself. You got to eat 3 square meals a day. We had a young gal to our house, it wasn't all that long ago. She sat down with us at one dinner time, and she looked at my wife, and she was really in shock. She goes, "You eat this way every day?" And we go, "Yeah, this is normal." Why? Because we've always had 3 square meals. It's just what we did as a family. Got to have healthy burge bodies, right? And if you don't eat, what are you? You're sick. If you're not well nourished, there's something wrong with you physically, spiritually. If you don't eat well, if you don't have a regular diet of the Word of God, you are also sick. And that sickness is no good because now the entire body, when I'm talking about bodily here, I'm talking about the entire body of Christ. The body of Christ is sick and we're not mature. Turn with me as we wrap this up to 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. Let's go back to the original Burge poll. 3 categories: unsaved, carnal, spiritual. 1 John chapter 2. It's time for us to get our evaluating caps back on. John says this, 1 John 2, verse 12. I write to you, little children. Now, the word here, little children, is technia, which means born ones. He's talking to the entire congregation. Got it? Because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. All children of God, we've been brought into a right relationship to God. But here we go now. I write to you fathers, spiritually mature. Because you have known him who is from the beginning. In other words, the fathers, the spiritual mothers, are those who have had a long-term relationship with God. 5 years maybe, longer, have walked with God, have heard his voice, and have responded positively to the word of God. That's the spiritual fathers. Then he goes on to the young men, say young women as well, it fits. I write to you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. How do you know if you are a spiritual young man? I'll tell you how. You don't give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You don't give in. Okay? Continues. I write to you little children. Now, this means a group of people under the care and discipline of another. I write to you little children because you have known the Father. So where are you? Are you a spiritual father? Are you someone who knows the Word of God, have walked with God a long time? Are you a young man? Are you someone who has now for a period of time have taken in the Word of God and you're applying the Word of God and you're not giving in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life? Or are you a child? I know I'm saved, but that's about as deep as it gets. And then he comes back through just to make sure we don't miss this. Notice he goes on to say in verse 14, I have written to you fathers because you have known him who was from the beginning. I've written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And notice this, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, I don't know how many of you today would identify with the carnal camp, the fleshly camp. If so, this is your issue. Look at verses 15 through 17. It says, do not love the world. Literally in the Greek, it translates to stop loving the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. But what's happening to that world even right now? It's passing away. It's going bye-bye. I'm amazed that so many Christians are putting their arms around something that is temporary instead of that which is eternal. Why would you allow the old nature to win? Why would you allow the lust of the flesh and what you've inherited from Adam to rule over you when you have the Spirit of God? Why would you allow the lust of the eyes, the pornography, and for the women, the envy of the so-called elite today in Hollywood, the singers, and say, oh, that's the model I want, just the opposite of Christ. Christ came to make himself of no reputation. Christ didn't want to do the catwalk. He didn't want to be in front of all the people waving and having a parade. He just wanted to serve people. And now he is given the name which is above every name. See, the world is passing away and the lust of it. But notice the end of verse 17. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's talk to God. Let's assess. Let's get real. How many of you are natural men, unsaved? Some of you might have been in church for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, but you have never come to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me give you an invitation right now. Believe on Christ. He died for your sin. He was raised from the dead, demonstrating that he's God, and he offers you the gift of eternal life, and you receive it by faith. Can I ask you right now to take the gift? Say, dear God, I'm a sinner. Thank you that Jesus died for my sin, and he was raised from the dead. I believe in him and receive the gift of eternal life. Would you do that right now if you've never believed? Is that you? Can I get a show of hands, every head bowed and every eye closed? If that's you today and you've just put your faith in Christ because you understand the gospel, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want you to know, God bless you. To others, God has spoken to you. You've just put your faith in Jesus Christ. God bless you. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. Carnal one. And I tell you as your pastor, been there, done that. The flesh winning, the tug of war because the Spirit of God isn't prevalent in your life. You need to start to eat well with a good diet of the Word of God and application. Can I ask, with no one around, how many of you here today are sick of being in a carnal category who want to make the change over to the spiritual? Can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want to get out of the carnal camp to the spiritual. Thank you. Are there others there today saying, I want to leave the carnal camp, I want to get over to the spiritual? God bless you. Are there others as well? God is speaking to you. Got to leave the carnal camp. Got to become spiritual. God bless you. What do you need to do? It's just simply this. A diet of the Word of God. Daily, in your hearts, in your minds, by regularly reading the Word and in doing it. Accountability. Find someone that you can talk to make sure you're doing these things. Regular attendance at church, so you can hear the Word of God and be instructed that you be no more children tossed to and fro. So I'm going to ask this one more time. How many of you today want to make that commitment to Christ so you can start to move out of the carnal camp to the spiritual? Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want to get into the camp of the spiritual. Would you raise your hand and say, that's where I want to go? God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, you want a healthy church.